Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insight. First, thanks sponsors, Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication, CompC.com, Burbank Sports Cards, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Heritage Auctions, Suggs & Scott Auctions, Upper Deck, Panini, and Topps. I guess I could have Brian on a bunch because he's never going to run out of topics, but this is the final part of this session we had where I turned the tables and said, hey, Brian, maybe you've got some questions for me. And of course he did. It was interesting to me. I hope it was interesting to you. Brian, he's a lifer. He may have sold Leaf, but we'll be hearing more from Brian. I'll let him announce that in his timing. But he thinks and cares deeply about the hobby as I do. We're kindred spirits in that sense, even though we're different personality types. I consider myself a hard worker, and I think he is too, but he's more on the hustling variety, but he's been smart about where he's put his energy and done well. So hats off to Brian. Hope you enjoy it. And here it is. If something had horrible back damage that you could try to remove with your saliva or whatever like that, you would do that if it was a water-soluble glue or paste or something. And if they could detect it, you're going to get penalized.
Because where I struggle is collectors are getting hurt every day because a card gets trimmed. The grading company denies it because they say it doesn't meet minimum size requirement. Yeah. That card gets sold on eBay to someone else who sends it to a grading company. It gets kicked again. Then that guy puts it on eBay. 10 people lose money on a card or buy cards and try to get them graded because they keep seeing these clean, raw cards that are trimmed. But if PSA or Beckett or someone put it into a holder and say, this is an altered 9 or a restored 9, then it would stay in the holder. Because you know what? The guy who trimmed it wouldn't take it out and sell it raw because eventually we could create a market
exactly
for cards that are made to look their best.
I proposed that a number of years ago.
And it's the right thing to do. I don't get it. Right. Beat them over the head, Don. No. Beat them over the head until they do it.
No. I'm not in the chain of command at Beckett anymore, but I presented the idea. It was shot down. But it was basically that all those should be graded, in effect taken off the market. But I went a step further than what you're saying. I wanted to put it in a bulletproof, unremovable slab.
I like that. I don't
think collectors would like cement, that. So you couldn't pop it out.
But I do know collectors.
Because you couldn't, and you're done.
I do know collectors that buy graded copies and take them out of the slabs for their own enjoyment because they want to touch the card. Right. I still believe as someone who's been around, but I actually like to smell cards to see how they smell because it reminds me of something that is so pure about the hobby to smell a 57 Topps card. It has a unique smell to it that just is not replicatable today.
You know why it's not? Because when they took gum out of the cards,
we didn't have
they
that.
Had to use different inks. You don't have the gum smell, but you also have a more sterile kind of a card.
It's different.
And they upgraded the cardboard.
And the gloss. They're using a gloss that keeps everything in. But there is something so special about those old cards and holding them and smelling them and looking at them. But I think this goes back to eye appeal to some extent. I think there's nothing wrong with appreciating eye appeal no matter how you get there, so long as you're transparent about how you got there.
Exactly.
And I think Kurt's Card Care could be a monster business if you could now take your 57 Topps mantle and make it look better. And the grading company said, you know what? Trim it if you want to. It's going to be in an altered holder, but instead of being 95-5 centering like so many of those 57 cards are, we can now make that card look like it's 70-30, which is not perfect. But the eye appeal will be so much better that instead of being in a 2 or 3
and it's
holder.
It's going to be a 1/8 inch too narrow.
And it's okay.
And that's
because
okay
guess
for
what?
Me.
When people cut boxes of post and they took the cards out of the back, people cut those terribly. Most hand cut cards were handled so terribly. Okay, we put those in graded card holders when they're cut terribly off the box or the hand cut Babe Ruth from whatever that set was, the little red cards.
So if it's an 8MC, let's say, so if it's a qualifier, so it's miscut.
Hate qualifiers.
I hate 8 too. Okay. So if it's an 8MC, which really would be valued at a 6 or 5 or something like that. Are you saying when they shave off that 1/8 of an inch to make it 70-30, now it kind of looks like a 9, you know, if everything else was like an 8, but it's going to sell for a 3 price?
Or what? But see, now it would become an altered 8. Because you're altering it. What you're doing, though, is you're taking away the miscut element, or you're taking away that element by repairing it, and you have a grade that is altered or restored 8. And let the market decide, what is a restored 8 worth versus an 8MC?
Okay, they're already doing that, though, Brian, but they're calling it eye appeal. I think when they look at altered cards, they're looking at this as an altered card that now presents like an 8. And I'd rather pay X dollars than get a 3 that looks
But the grading right. card companies won't put them in holders and certify them as being altered 8.
They won't call it that, no.
And that,
they're going to say it's altered and it's the Wild West. You go out there. So I think there are people out there.
But in the 50s and 60s, they appreciate that, yes.
Exactly.
But they don't appreciate it when you have an Ovechkin rookie from from Upper Deck in 2005.
I'm surprised there aren't people, and maybe they're doing this because I don't hit every table and I don't do vintage as much now, but there aren't guys going to vintage tables say, show me all the altered cards you have. Show me your slabbed altered cards or your cards that are problem cards.
Well, no one will ever show you those because they take them out and they sell them raw on eBay. They sell them raw on eBay and let the next guy deal with the problem. I just wanted your opinion on that.
It's eye appeal. Good eye appeal cards will always sell regardless of what the holder says. I guess that's what I'm saying. And if the differential for super high grade cards, whatever that means, certainly eights and nines and tens for 52s and things like that, if that price differential is not as great, it takes away some of the incentive. Increase the risk, decrease the reward. And I'd love to see more articulation. Like you said, I like your idea. Let's slab them and slab it with a full description of what it is. Some grading company could do that. They could say, send us your altered cards. We will slab them and we'll give them an eye.
How do you feel the grading company was willing to fix it for you and put it in that holder? Like the comic book grading company that will press the comic. No. How cool would that be if they had a restoration service attached to PSA?
Grading service number 6.
Should do that.
We'll probably do that.
Because they don't have a business.
Because they have anymore. None to lose.
PSA won't gamble on that. Exactly. But CGC made an incredible decision because now you can have a beautiful book that would have been a 6. Now it can be a 9 restored once they press the cover.
They're the market leader, though, for comic books, right?
Of course.
So
why can't PSA be the market leader and do that? Great question, I think.
They're making too much money.
They're making a lot of money, I think. But it's just so interesting. I want to get your opinion mainly because I look at the Mona Lisa and say, if that's restored, it's okay. So at what point trading cards...
It's also covered in... It's the bulletproof glass.
But at what point are trading cards art? And it's okay. And but if it's art, isn't it okay to restore it?
It is okay. It's not criminal.
And I think, as a hobby, we're short-sighted. I guess that's where I was going with this.
That's today.
And that's why we have to have, we talked about this on a previous episode, we got to have this vision further that says an Ovechkin rookie is an Ovechkin rookie if it's a 16th short or not. And guess what? As a manufacturer, I had cards kicked by Beckett that I submitted for grading that were never in a pack that I submitted for customer service. They never even got put in the pack and they told me they were trimmed. And I said, guys, I made this and we cut it. And they go, it's too short.
You cut it wrong.
And I said, so guess what? If we cut it a 16th or a 32nd short and you caught it and you had an issue with it, we didn't do it to deceive. It's just how the factory cut it. Then I got to think at some point, we shouldn't have this write the card off because it's a 16th short.
I'm totally with you on that.
And that's I hope people
will learn. But they have to tell it like it is. They have to say, this did not measure, and that's the reason we're giving it an A or whatever it is. But you can see that otherwise, it's a 9.5.
And this will make me popular. We can't trust dealers to do that. We need a third party to say, guys, this card, in our opinion, has been altered, but it shows as a 9.
They don't even need to trust you for that as the former manufacturer. They're taking the card on face value, and they're saying that it looks like it's untouched. It was never in a pack. We have this affidavit from Brian, but still, we're looking at it. We cannot give it a numerical grade without the qualifier that it didn't measure, but we're still going to slab it. It is what it is. And so if they tell it like it is, then they're looking at the card without the external input or verification. The card is evaluated as the card.
Hopefully someone smart at a grading company will hear this.
Somebody's going to do it.
Hopefully someone listens to this and says, wow, here's somebody who's been in the business for 45 years, 50 years. Here's a guy who's been in for 35 who are saying that maybe we should look at cards and say a card is not worthless because it has been altered or restored. It's different.
It's just different. No, they're saying it's not worth slabbing. It's not worth the slabbing flack that we'll get for slabbing this card. We'd rather pass on it than slab it and have people get mad at us that we've lost our purity.
And it's just like reselling a car that you know is a lemon, because you're letting that thing get resold and resold and resold without stepping in and saying, you know what? We are willing to certify it as what it is and try to not take it off the market.
Well, no,
but try to identify it and hope that it stays identified.
No, tie that to the VIN. You know that it goes with that car unless you scrape off the
and that's where
vehicle
people,
identification.
And that's where people and like that's tag what people like tag grading. They're doing fingerprints on these cars now. They can tell you.
Supposedly,
they know if they've seen the cards. Cards have been submitted to PSA multiple times. They don't catch it, but Tag is their system. I've been behind the scenes. I was an investor there.
I'm just
saying. Tag has got incredible fingerprint.
Fascinating. But others will have that. And then you'll have that. And the history of that card, it's like blockchain. You know, it won't be blockchain, but it'll be, there's like a digital record or there's a verifiable card lookup. You'll be able to track this.
So you think we VIN number all the cards eventually?
I think
our Sidney Crosby rookies are VIN'd?
One of the card companies could do that. I mean, it's not beyond.
But like you said about PSA, they're making too much money.
But here's the thing. PSA is in such a strong position. that they will acquire the disruptor.
I hope so.
They won't be the disruptor.
Well, I think this is a space in the market where we've got to address it because well, there's enough buzz
it
now.
It takes the negativity and it doesn't eliminate the negativity because it's not all negative. Some of it's innocuous, some of it's unintentional or well-meaning, but it needs to be clarified if it's slabbed. And like I said, my idea was to make a slab that was unbreakable so that you couldn't crack it. Now,
you'd have to put that in the submission like thing. Like, hey, if you submit a card that's altered, it will be put
in an unbreakable,
untamperable holder for the security. But then it could be wrong, and then you've taken the card and put it in a chastity belt. That's very scary, you know. But hey, hopefully they'll hear us, and we'll do. Thanks for letting me ask you because I've been watching these shows on Insta and YouTube, and people are saying PSA is the worst because they can't detect it. Guys, we can only detect. You can't determine what someone's going to do to try to alter the path of how we do.
That's just not right. After you get your gray, then you say, oh, by the way, Kurt,
this is altered.
That's making waves. That wouldn't be my style.
I don't think it was very smart.
Well, for Kurt's Card Care, they've been shouted out now in a way that not only are they good, that they got a 10 or on that card and it was undetectable.
Well, they've got a target on their back now because now the number one mission is to figure out how to stop those cards from getting in there. So their loudness and their advertising may have cost them a long-term viable business
model. Well, again, even...
But there may not have been a long term anyway.
One of the card companies could buy Kurt's Card Care and bring them in and make them be the front end. I mean, again, nothing is illegal. We're not suggesting anything illegal.
But then the question becomes, is it altered if the card
company... But it will be accepted. Then that card company will be suspect that everything that came to that card company had been pre-prepped. But, you know, these bulk submission centers... They're doing some of that stuff.
Oh, for sure.
You know that.
They're prepping cards. And it all goes back to what we talked about in our previous episode. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, how we think about all these things. And that includes alteration. That includes things that are in favor and out of favor. We're going to learn and things are going to change.
The over-under, it's certainly not 20 years for restoration to be accepted in cards. That's imminent. It's less than five.
It feels like less than 5 years before restoration is part of this business.
I mean, we've already seen some of the top cards in the hobby have been altered. Some of the PMGs.
Oh, yeah.
That were colorized or got low grades. And is anybody embarrassed about their green PMG that's a 7?
No, they're not, or even a 3 or 4, they don't care.
I'm just saying, they're bragging about it. But if that 3 or 4 had been colorized a little bit to make it authentic or to make it not get a numerical grade, it's still a really tough card and
it's
a beautiful card.
Still.
Yeah.
And we see that.
I'm going to pass one by. I'm going to wait for a better one. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're not seeing it ever again.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me ask you.
Thanks, Brian. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. The